You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Jeff and Eric noticed one day that nobody on the internet talked about movies, so they had to find a way. They'll put out thoughts on new movies they've discovered through autumn, winter, spring, and summer on Fridays. And when you run out of films you love to view, tune into MovieBS and you will find something new to ask you. The best critics of their day, never gonna lead you astray. And when you finally see the movies, you'll know that they were right. Making jokes, playing games, all this and more, you'll find Contained on MovieBS with Bear and Snyder.
Hello, welcome to MovieBS with Bear and Snyder. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, and that's my co-host, Jeff Baer.
Hey, everybody. I am Jeff Baer. That is Eric D. Snyder. This is our show.
Episode number 390, but it's episode number one of the year 2018. Happy New Year.
I was thinking you were about to say, like, number one in our hearts.
No. I mean, maybe we haven't done it yet. Maybe it will be. First show of the year, so it's time for our top 10 lists. Top 10 movies of 2017. Always a big event here at MovieBS land.
Gather the family around the fireplace. And listen to all the movies that you've had a chance to see, or there's probably like half of them you haven't had a chance to see yet.
Yeah.
So there's that too.
And we have not compared lists because we do not speak to each other apart from this 1 hour a week.
That is right. I saw that you posted your 10, and I'm not clicking on that.
Right. Good call.
Spoiler alert.
We like to guess. How many films do you think we have in common?
I believe this year, looking at my list, we have 5 films in common.
I'm going to say 4. I think we have 4 in common.
Oh, man. Really? You didn't? All right.
But we'll see.
I'm surprised that one didn't make your list.
Well, maybe it did, but maybe the other one didn't.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it's this one.
All right. You won the imaginary coin toss, so you go first. What's your number 10?
My number 10 movie. It's a movie I was lucky enough to see at a film festival because I don't know otherwise if it would have been on my radar. Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. Roll the clip.
A delightful movie that we saw at Fantastic Fest. It's not on my list, but it was BS approved.
It's really just a wonderful tale about how in the world we got this Wonder Woman character. But then more importantly, it's all about polygamy. And you know me. I'm a fan.
A big fan, yeah. Although not a fan, I don't think they don't actually get married. Actually, doesn't actually marry both of them. No, but a 3-way cohabitation.
That's true.
This professor and his wife and a grad student who becomes their assistant and special friend, and he created Wonder Woman.
That's right. And for me, the thing is, Luke Evans and Rebecca Hall are just absolutely on top of their game as these characters. Bella Heathcote, who I was not really familiar with, also does a wonderful job. It's loving and tender when you expect it to be something different. Mm-hmm. And that is just, it's a wonderful film to appreciate. Maybe not watch with the kids yet, even if they're into Wonder Woman. Maybe wait a few years and never watch it with your kids. Just have them watch it on their own.
Very nice, funny movie. And he also invented the lie detector. The Wonder Woman guy.
Which is the best, by the way.
Also that. My number 10 film is 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Ooh. Now, do you want me to do that thing?
Which thing?
That thing where I'm like, oh, it was here. It was in the next. Or should I not do that?
I mean, you can if you want.
I don't know if I want to do that thing.
All right.
I really loved this film.
Very, very good movie. I watched it a second time to see if I still loved it. And I did. The second time, I could see more why the people who don't like it. I get it.
Why don't they like it?
Well, it's very unsubtle and it's very not formulaic, that's not the right word, but the people don't exactly talk and act like quite like real people.
No, they
stylized, Yes. And kind of black and white, cut and dried in a lot of ways, to the point where I could see seeing it as being a kind of over the top, in your face message movie.
I think it is almost farcical.
It is in a lot of ways, yeah. And it's really darkly funny and really good performances. Frances McDormand and Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell doesn't dance in this movie, but he does stagger drunkenly a couple of times, which is sort of like dancing.
We're going to give him the pass on this one.
Yeah. So Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is my number 10. What's your number 9?
My number 9, Phantom Thread.
A late edition.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this movie in coming weeks mm-hmm. when it opens up a little bit wider for you people. But let's just say it right now.
And for us people,
that's right. Daniel Day-Lewis is really great in this. I love Paul Thomas Anderson. And the way that the movie unfolds is quite surprising. And I love relationship dysfunction and love. And this movie has heaps of both.
Mm-hmm. This is not on my list, but it's a good movie that I saw.
What is your number 9?
Raw. And you think that I mean the one about the girl who discovers cannibalism. No, I mean the Eddie Murphy stand-up film from 30 years ago.
Was it reissued?
It was a late edition. No, I mean Raw. This, college freshman. Who's raised as a strict vegetarian, a college hazing incident, samples some meat, and discovers she has a taste for it, if you know what I mean.
You know what he means.
Love this movie. And surprisingly sweet. About family love, the things that we do for the people we love, and
like a sister bonding movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even though there is just heaps of dysfunction going on in this film.
And there's a little bit of cannibalism. Not going to lie about that. There is some.
And there is shock value in a couple of scenes that are just jaw dropping.
Yeah, really good visual effects with the practical effects with what gore there is. It's not as gory and graphic as it could have been, but what they do have is well done. Is this on your list? Where is this? Is it on your second list?
It's on my list.
Is it on your top 10 list?
My top 10 list.
Is it number 1?
For the first time in recorded history, in the life of Jeff Baer, I've picked a foreign language film as my number 1 movie of the year.
Wow.
Raw is my number 1 movie of the year.
Look at you.
Let me tell you a little bit about me and Raw. Saw it a year and a half ago at Fantastic Fest. Then mm-hmm. went to Sundance, and it seemed like I wasn't getting the movie joy that I wanted to get. Saw that Raw was playing, decided, you know what? This is weird. I've never done this before. I'm going to see Raw for a second time at a different film festival. Mm. Saw it and walked out of Sundance feeling like that rewatch was my favorite movie of Sundance. And admittedly, I didn't see everything at Sundance, like Call Me By Your Name or The Big Sick.
Sure.
It has stuck with me. I've thought about it. It's the gem. And for a while, it looked like it was beat. But no, it just kept making a comeback and getting back into my craw. And here's the thing. Remember that scene where there's itching?
Yeah.
I know. I hate itching.
I think you've mentioned that scene, I would say, no fewer than 30 times this year.
And I love the film for giving me that scene that I'm terribly uncomfortable with. I love Raw. I recommend it. It's on Netflix, and it's my number 1. So the lists are over. Let's hang it up.
Is it on Netflix now?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Unless I'm wrong. Totally possible. You know, I keep telling people it's on Netflix because I thought I saw it on Netflix, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to go check.
Why don't you do that while I'm telling you? No, actually,
while you tell me.
I'll check.
No.
Tell me what your number. Wait, where are we? 8. No, that was 9. Eight. I have no. your. Okay, yes. Tell me your 8. And I'll look up Raw.
All right. My number 8 film, Logan.
Logan.
Logan. Finally, the Wolverine that I wanted. And I didn't know I wanted it.
It only took like 5 tries. Only took several Wolverine movies before they got it right.
Give me a rated R. Give me a little girl with them. Give me a Western vibe as opposed to a superhero vibe. give me a barn and a farm that like went on for way too long, but suddenly I was right back into it. Jimmy, give me James Mangold, who continues to impress me with the variety of work he can do.
Raw is indeed on Netflix, by the way.
And Patrick Stewart is just great as crazy old Professor X. So yeah, Logan.
My number 8, Lady Bird.
All right, you got to stop jumping all over my list, buddy. If I had known where you'd put some of these movies, I would have totally changed my ranking so I could have talked about them first.
That would have been dishonest of you to pretend to have your movies in a different order just to appease the masses.
It's appeasing me.
To appease you.
Lady Bird's my number 7. Please continue talking about Lady Bird.
Well, Lady Bird is written and directed by Greta Gerwig. The only bad thing about this movie is that it's written and directed by Greta Gerwig, but she's not in it. We don't get to see her. That's the only bad thing about it.
But isn't that... There's something nice and impressive about that, too.
Well, it is, but I just want to see her because I like her so much.
I understand, but
it's like hearing that someone is in town, but you don't actually get the chance to see them while they're in town. Like, oh, so close, oh.
All right.
Saoirse Ronan is a great avatar for her. It's mm-hmm. a semi-autobiographical thing, a girl in high school at odds with her mom, who is, what's her name? Laurie Metcalf.
Exactly.
Laurie Metcalf. Wonderful. Wonderful as the mom. It's a really great mother-daughter story. And this is something that I don't have, I was never a teenage girl. I don't think you ever were either.
I wasn't.
And I was never in fights with my mom. My dad, sure. Dad, sure.
Are you actually, good. So you're part human.
But there's not much of this applies to me in my life, but it's just so relatable and funny.
The charm is interesting here because it just keeps getting to the heart of what it means to be a teenager that is looking for something more but doesn't necessarily want to do the work.
Right.
Wants life to offer something special. And I think that's a feeling that we can all identify with from time to time. And like Rushmore goes through a year in the life of with a high school student.
Yeah.
And the cast here is partially unknown for me, like some of the like her brother in the film and everything. And I think just everybody does an outstanding job, including, the mom gets talked about in such a great way. But who plays the dad once again?
Tracy Letts.
Just a charm. Mm-hmm. And it goes to show. Maybe all parents in all movies should be played by people who do a lot of Broadway work. Maybe that's the thing.
Maybe, or people who are good actors anyway, I guess is the word.
Yeah. Either or. Yep.
And that was your number 7, you said. All right.
That was my number 7, so my number 7's just gone.
My number 7?
Get Out.
Okay, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's my number 4.
Nice.
You know what's wrong with this movie? Jordan Peele's not in it. It's like, he directs the film, and you love Jordan Peele. You just want more of Jordan Peele, but then he's not in the film. It's just really annoying.
I don't have that connection to Jordan Peele, but I understand.
It's like if a friend was out of town and you went to visit them.
Mm-hmm. What did you say this was? What number is this for you?
Number 4.
Number 4 for you.
Number
All right.
4 for me. How many do we have in common already? 3?
Raw, Get Out, and Lady Bird, yeah.
And you think there's only one more.
Let's see if I still think that. No, there's probably 2 more.
So you were thinking
maybe even 3 more.
Were you surprised that Lady Bird was on my list?
No, I was surprised that Get Out was on your list.
Whoa, really?
I was hearing you talk about it. I thought that you had cooled on it.
Oh, no. It was more like, okay, so that's a second viewing. We talked about it after I watched it a second time. And what was interesting to me was it became more of a technical movie for me in like the deconstruction of it. Like I was a scientist looking to do experiments or something like that the second time around, as opposed to, oh my gosh, what's going on here? I'm feeling very uncomfortable and everything else.
The first time I saw it, it struck me as mostly as a comedy that used some horror elements really well. And the second time, it felt more like a horror film that had this good dose of comedy. And I like both versions. And I remember seeing the trailer before we'd seen the movie, and the trailer even looked like it was hard to tell whether it was a comedy or a horror or what kind of mix. Like, how serious is this? And even watching the film, it's a really good mix of both, and you really can't pin it down to one category or the other.
Yeah.
And he's a really good director. What he does with, I mean, you can tell he knows his stuff and has been watching movies a lot and learning from them.
So,
excellent stuff by Jordan Peele.
And that was your number seven? And
that was my number seven, yes.
My number six.
Mm-hmm.
Finally get to go. Whew. Dunkirk.
Dunkirk is my number one.
Whoa! What?
Why
did I not see that? I didn't see that coming for some reason. Huh. I don't know why. I don't know what I didn't have. Oh, maybe that's the movie I thought would be your number one. But no, I wasn't totally positive of what your number one would be. How many times did you see it in the theater? You saw it twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second time, 70mm?
The first time, the press screening was bad because it was just a press screening. Yeah, what do they care?
Yeah.
When I paid money to see it over at the Hollywood Theater in 70mm, yeah, it looked great. Looked and sounded great.
Well, and this could be the reason that it's number six on my list, because experience beyond the film, but like where you see it, who you see it with, all of that comes into play, people.
Sure.
Don't deny it.
Terrific movie. I love the meticulousness of it, the way that it all intricately folds in together. They have the three storylines that are happening in kind of on different timelines, kind of happening simultaneously, but in different one lasts a week, one lasts a day, and one lasts an hour.
Yes.
Which confused some people, confused a lot of people, including some movie critics who freely wrote in their reviews about how they didn't understand the movie and therefore didn't like it. And everyone else who pretended to like it was only pretending. That's what an actual critic said. He's been doing it like 28 years. He writes for a newspaper. There's no such subtweeting. Gary Wolcott, the Tri-City Herald. Why subtweet? No, I'll tell him to his face. That was a stupid, immature thing to say. To say that 98% of other critics they think that they're supposed to like it to be cool, so they're pretending to like it. Like, it can't just be that he didn't get it. It can't be that. Even though reading his review, you're like, oh, you didn't get it. You fundamentally did not understand the basic premise of the movie. But no one else is just pretending.
This would be really interesting. Sometime we should do like a top list.
Yeah.
And then find a critic who totally disagreed with it and just rip the review. saying like, this is a great film. It's not a review, it's a misunderstanding.
Yeah, and you could not like a movie that I like and write a review of it that would be a good review. Like, you could have good reasons for not liking it. You can have a well-written review. This guy's a bad writer and a bad critic and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so that's Dunkirk. It's great.
That was my number six. That was your number one, mm-hmm. which means you're number six.
My number six is Baby Driver.
Oh!
Baby Driver. Is that on your list?
No, it's in that other pile of, man, I really like that movie.
Yeah, this is one that I thought would be on your list. Rewatch it again and confirmed that the plot is pretty mundane, pretty standard,
very standard
plot
for
this kind of movie. But the way that it's woven in with the musical soundtrack and all choreographed and everything is just so much fun. And then it's Edgar Wright as the director, really great chase sequences, action stuff that's really well shot and well edited and good humor and just
I need to see this movie
fun
again.
Movie. You do
actually. Not only that. Not only do I need to see this movie again, there's a great chance that it could like accidentally have been a top 10 because I love that soundtrack mm-hmm. more than anything. I gave it an 8 out of 10 first time I saw it. And it's only slightly creepy, like the Kevin Spacey scenes now, right? It's only slightly creepy.
Yeah. I mean, and he, you know, he's a bad guy in the movie and kind of
right. So
gets
it almost
what's coming
fits.
To him. So it's, yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Your number five.
My number five. Tanya. Yeah. Margot Robbie is an actor. It is official. She's amazing in it. And so it's one of those films where the entire cast is just enjoyable and you're like, oh, I get to watch this guy do it again. Or, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. here's Allison Janney again. And it's throughout. And, I love the doubt and surprise compassion that you have for Tanya Harding mm-hmm. is just wonderful.
And that was your five. All right. My number five, Mother.
That was my number one.
No, it wasn't.
I know.
Mother, no.
Oh, man.
Mother Delight.
Now, you've seen this 17 times now, is that right?
Just twice. I went and saw this one a second time in the theater again. And this movie could have been a pretentious mess, and some people feel like it is.
Yeah.
But I love how bonkers it is. I love the audacity of it. That it's like Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer. These are like big-time movie stars in this crazy religious allegory that follows a nightmare logic and has crazy stuff happening in it. Just this big, weird Darren Aronofsky vision, and I totally dig it.
You're glad it exists.
I am very glad it exists.
Yeah, I'll look forward to watching it again one day. I will.
Your number four was Get Out. We have that. Does that mean I go again then?
Number four?
Yeah. All right. My number four, you're not going to like this.
More Than Mother?
A Ghost Story.
You're right. But again, that's another one that I still have to sit down and give it another swing.
Both times I saw this, it has parts that really try my patience. Like the scenes where it's like a 4-minute shot of somebody eating pie.
And
she does a great job eating the pie, but I feel like that is longer than it needs to be. And there's a few bits like that. But overall, like I don't know that anything else this year had the same kind of like haunting melancholy impact on me. And it's all about the passage of time and mortality. And it just feels so
connection to love and
yeah. Yeah. Others. And it's the best Casey Affleck delivery system where he's covered in a sheet and barely talking. That's really what you want from Casey Affleck. You don't have to see him or hear him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And also the fact that another very risky film that, again, many people feel is an insufferable disaster, but just the risk-taking of it.
It is a very risky film. Every single scene in that film is 165% too long. I think that is factual, I think.
That may be.
Yeah.
Your number three.
My number three. Wait, with a Ghost Story, mm-hmm. You saw it two times in the theater. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious if like you watched it at home. And
I didn't watch
just
it at home. No, it was once at Sundance and then once at the screening here.
Because if you did watch it at home, you would probably fast forward some stuff, right?
No.
For your number four movie of the year, you'd probably fast forward.
No,
a few things.
I don't think so. Not in that case.
All right.
I'm a scientist.
You'd fold the laundry.
The experiment. No, I would watch the movie.
Okay. I'm just curious. I'm asking. Number three. Are you ready for a surprise?
Yeah.
You are?
Hit me with it. I'm sitting down. I'm ready. I've braced myself.
All right. Wonder.
How nice.
I don't want to talk about it too much because I'll probably start crying again.
Mm-hmm.
I had an emotional experience watching this film on my couch with my mother-in-law watching it occasionally with me. She had already seen it. And there was just like, before the movie starts, I'm laying down on the couch, getting ready to go. She hands me a box of tissues and is just like, trust me, you're going to need some of these. I'm like, all right, come on, settle down, Sharon. Not only did I have tears flowing,
were they spurting like a geyser of tears coming out of your eyes?
No, but I trembled. I trembled at one point because it was so much. It was so much emotion for me.
The performance by Jacob Tremblay.
Yes, he's so good. Mm-hmm. But Julia Roberts, oh my gosh, yes. Like, be a mom who gets a little bit emotional here and there. And yeah. Owen Wilson, man, what a great dad. And you know what's
great
so
dad.
Weird?
Yeah.
The movie, this was the biggest surprise. At no point do they make fun of the way that Owen Wilson looks as like a compassionate like comparison to the son. And I was very surprised by that.
Well, I think, like, I've said this before, that if you told me that Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts would play the parents of a kid with a messed up face, I would have believed you.
Yes.
But yeah.
I just thought the way that this movie, I think this is an incredibly important film for all kids to eventually see in their life and feel and understand that compassion and love that is necessary for anybody that might be viewed or thought of or thinks of themselves as different. And I just loved every ounce of it so much.
It's a very lovely, nice movie.
Good, it really performances is.
And, yeah. Good. One of the low key under the radar kind of, hey, that's a surprisingly good movie kind of movies. Yep. And now let's see my number three. Then here we go. My number three, Stronger, with Jake Gyllenhaal.
One of the near misses on my top 10 list. I would say there was probably four movies that just missed. That was one of them.
This rewatched this one as well, and really loved the performance. And the big moment for me is near the end. It's not a spoiler, but you know, he's a victim of the Boston Marathon bombing, lost his legs, and the whole movie is about him sort of being hailed as a hero, and he doesn't want to be a hero, and you know, I lost my effing legs, you know, what about me? And then as he comes to accept his role as an inspiring public figure, and talking to people who tell him how he's inspired them, it's really emotionally effective. And the scene where he first takes off the bandages is extraordinary acting.
Yeah,
just great all the way around. Jake Gyllenhaal, he's one of the best actors of his generation. I'm just saying.
I'm agreeing.
Good, because he is.
Is that what you want me to tell him if I see him?
Never mind all the other great things about him.
Okay.
But he's also a terrific actor. And seems like a nice guy. He's not a creep. We're not going to hear stories about him, I don't think.
Would that be your most devastating?
I would be pretty sad.
I'm trying to think if there'd be anybody for you who would be your number one.
But I would be
like, I've said before it would be rough if Seth Meyers.
That would be bad. As far as
celebrities, yeah. Obama would be probably the worst.
Someone that I like, really admire and respect would be Steve Martin. Like that goes beyond just fandom, but like actually really admiring and respecting him as a thinker and a mind and a funny person and all the things that he does. I would feel very personally.
I used to want Dylan, my son, to like, well, if I could just pick, which I can't and I won't, Steve Martin, following those footsteps.
Be Steve Martin.
Yeah, but then I shifted to Seth Meyers because Seth Meyers has a brother. Dylan has a brother. So that's my story.
We're at number two. Your number two.
Number two, and you haven't said your number two.
Right.
But you have said your number one. And
I wonder if it might be the same movie.
I think it's the same movie, which for, I think it was a solid week and a half, was my number one.
I don't think I knew that.
Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, it's not the same one, though.
Oh, what? What? Yours? You didn't make it? It didn't make it?
That's probably, it's 11. It's 11.
Oh, okay.
If I'd had a chance to see it a second time, it might have moved up.
Oh, wait. Can I guess?
What mine is? Yeah. Yeah. I bet you can.
Never mind. I know what it is. I am surprised it is not. I'm surprised Disaster Artist is not in your top 10.
Disaster Artist I enjoyed, but the more I think about it, the less I respect it.
I'm a little surprised. The Florida Project isn't in your top 10.
Also barely missed.
All right, sir. But your number two movie of the year, everybody, is something we'll talk about after we talk about The Last Jedi.
Tell me about The Last Jedi.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
Really fun. I'm happy with everything about it. I'm happy with the they did not zig too many times. They mainly zagged, and I'm glad they did.
Well, and the few times they do zig, it's where you thought they were going to zag.
That's that's where it gets you. And Mark Hamill, lovely job, sir. If you're listening, are you listening?
I assume he is. I mean, the drummer of Eve 6 listens, so I assume that Luke Skywalker also listens. He's really good at it, and I wonder, I know he's done a lot of voice work, cartoon stuff. I wonder if he has tried to do more live action and just kind of can't break out of the Luke Skywalker thing, or if he prefers voice stuff, because he's clearly a very talented actor, and I just wonder why he hasn't had more of a movie career than he has.
I mean, another film that was in my, let's say, top 20?
Yeah.
Brigsby Bear,
yeah.
He was really good in Brigsby Bear, too.
Also good in that. Mark Hamill.
Star Wars The Last Jedi. I don't know if you guys have had a chance yet to go to a multiplex and see it.
But, I don't know if you've heard. There's a new Star Wars movie.
Eric's number two, which is somewhere in my, let's say, top 16?
All right.
Call Me By Your Name.
Eric. yes, Call Me By Your Name. My number two film. And it was... I landed on Dunkirk for the number one, but it could have been this, maybe, I guess, as well.
Was it
neck and neck.
Was it just a matter of, like, numbers? Dunkirk had more young men in it than Call Me By Your Name, so then like, you're just like, all right.
No, it had, I think what it did come down to more was like technical craft.
Yeah.
Dunkirk is more of a, is to me a more impressive production.
Yeah. Call Me By Your Name is an amazing hangout.
And it's,
you know what I mean?
Like it's lovely.
It's a summer vacation.
Mm-hmm. And the way that it conveys all that, the summertime and the glossy photography and just, you feel like you're there in this sun dappled Italian villa, you know, falling in love with. Whoever.
In the 80s, because you cannot misplace Armie Hammer's outfits from anything but
definitely,
the 1980s.
Definitely 1983, yeah. And this premiered at Sundance last year, so it's been almost a year now since I saw it the first time. And I have been, it's been interesting all year long to see how many movie critics who are not in any way gay or bi or queer really just unreservedly loving the movie. It's mm-hmm. hard for me, as someone who is gay, it's hard for me to know how I would feel about it if I didn't have that component of it too. You know?
Right. Because you're somebody that goes out of this way to hate the Before trilogy because you're not straight.
That is not exact, not quite
you,
what I
and
said.
And you say you can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to you. Why would he love a woman? Like blah, 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 blah. For three
not
films.
What I said. I think what I said was why would anyone love Ethan Hawke? But but no. But yeah, so this movie where in addition to being a really great story and well-told, well-acted, it also has the, you know, the element of being, you know, very attractive men falling in love with each other and, you know, romantically, erotically. And so I don't know what it's like to not have that component, but apparently it is not a hindrance because many, many critics have loved it.
There's a sweetness to it. And there's a compassion, especially from Armie Hammer. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped so much in the film.
It's tricky
because you're not nervous about his, you're not nervous about his love.
His character is older than the other one. The other one's only 17. Right. And so, yeah, the older of the two, very tricky role to not have it come across as creepy or predatory or whatever. And it doesn't at all.
Yeah. And not only, I mean, like on multiple levels, Armie Hammer's big, like he's just a giant man. And so that can have an effect too. He plays it so well. He does a lovely job. And goodness, what's his name? You know what I mean?
Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet.
That kid. That kid's going places. So there we go. So our lists. I'll run down my list again to recap. I'll start at the top. I got Dunkirk, Call Me By Your Name, Stronger, A Ghost Story, Mother, Baby Driver,
Get Out,
Lady Bird, Raw, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
And my top 10, number one, Raw. Again, like this is a big deal. First time foreign language film.
Yeah.
It's insane. I didn't think it would ever happen.
I'm a little surprised. I'm surprised that, yeah, that the first foreign language film you ever saw turned out to be your number one of the year. That's great.
Number two, Star Wars The Last Jedi. Number three, Wonder. Number four, Get Out. Number five, I, Tanya. Number six, Dunkirk. Number seven, Lady Bird. Number eight, Logan. Number nine, Phantom Thread. And number 10, Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
So we wound up overlapping on
Get Out,
Raw, Get Out, Dunkirk, and Lady Bird. Yeah, all right. So four, I was right. Four!
It doesn't matter.
Get Woo-hoo! Over it. Yeah, I thought that you would have Baby Driver, and I thought there was a good chance you would have... I thought there was a good chance you'd have Stronger and or Call Me By Your Name, too. Those are kind of possible.
But not Three Billboards.
I didn't think that was in the running for you.
So for me, the really close one, since I have this list right here in front of me, the really close ones were like, I'm almost going to put this in, but then I'm not. Stronger, Florida Project, Molly's Game, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, and Battle of the Sexes. Battle of the Sexes, very forgotten, but I think it's great.
That was good. I gave that a B+ at the time. That was in the running. I would also add, besides the ones mentioned, The Big Sick, Killing of a Sacred Deer, The Lovers, with Tracy Letts again, Tracy Letts and Deborah Winger, The Shape of Water, Split,
Shape of Water, not Split. I'm going not Split, but I'll go the American Made. I'll go Free Fire. I'll go Spider-Man Homecoming.
Wind River. Wonderstruck. Wonder Woman.
War on everyone.
War on everyone.
That's not going to be on anybody else's. No. I don't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. War for the Planet of the Apes. I know you didn't like, but that was in the running for me.
Wonderstruck, how close was Wonderstruck? Ever considered in the top 10 or no, not quite?
It was, you know, watching that a second time, I still really liked it, but I found that a big part of what I loved about it the first time was not knowing the story and there how the story is connected. Yeah. And so the second time, it didn't have quite the same impact on me. Quite the same oomph, exactly.
Right.
So there are our lists. There are some excellent, excellent films for you people to choose from that maybe you haven't seen. You've probably seen a lot of those.
Well, in fact, we asked
what your favorite movies were of the year.
That's right.
Did you tabulate those votes?
I tabulated those votes, and let's see here.
Is there a clear? Is there a clear winner?
This is the best. Almost. So the ones that got multiple votes, we'll only talk those.
Okay.
Mother.
Right.
Star Wars. The Big Sick. Thor Ragnarok, but to clarify, it was because there was at least one person was like, it's the only movie I saw in the theater.
Right.
Blade Runner 2049, which kind of surprised me a little bit, but yeah, it was definitely up there. Baby Driver,
I know, was on
and
there.
And Dunkirk. So there we go.
Did you say Lady Bird?
No, here's the best part. There was a tie at top.
All right.
Get Out and Lady Bird. Now, I'd like to read you an email from listener Joe. Joe's from Portland. And by the way, he says, thanks for the awesome podcast.
You're welcome, Joe.
I hope you guys do some more games and make up a few new ones for this next year. Maybe. We don't know. Doubtful. But you never know.
Never know.
Also, the best thing that happened to him in 2017, he took a very relaxing overdue vacation in the beaches of Mexico.
Have you gone off the target of what you were trying to say?
Here we go. This is it. Mm-hmm. Ready? My favorite movie is a tie this year for Get Out and Lady Bird. It disqualifies it. If he would have just picked one, we would have had a winner.
Well, but it's still, but the winner would have only been by one vote. So it's still not like a clear,
but
far
would
away.
Have been a winner.
It would have been a winner.
But now instead, our listeners have two favorite movies of the year.
Well, we're all winners.
Get Out and Lady Bird.
And we also asked you guys to tell us some good things that happened to you in 2017, because it was a bad year for a lot of people in a lot of ways. But we want to start off 2018 with some positivity. And it was nice to see everyone's just sort of one sentence things. A few of the noteworthy ones. A couple of people mentioned they got a promotion at work. Good. The economy is rebounding. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Trump, for that. Somebody mentioned getting married, and then his mother piped up to say that her good thing was that her two beautiful sons got married, one of them being who had posted earlier. The one that's Zach, he says, I got married. Also, I won some honey in a raffle, and I hope those are two different things. I hope he's not saying that he married some honey he won in a raffle.
Yeah, oh.
Won some honey in a raffle, and I married her. But I think he means there's two different things there.
I don't know. I mean, I've been married for so long now, I don't know how it works today. Like, that could be an app that we don't know about.
Oh, the honey raffle?
Yeah.
What else? Braden says, I started a goal of walking every day in the summer and have walked 1,100 miles since then. A little miracle given my bad back that had limited me so much before. That's amazing.
Oh, speaking of bad backs, doesn't that apply?
Somebody else have a bad back?
Somebody else finally, didn't they have wasn't there a car accident?
Yes, here we go. Donald, yes. Whose favorite movie was Last Jedi, but I only saw two movies. He says, I had to do physical therapy after a car accident, and it fixed some underlying issues I was unaware of. Physically, I haven't felt this good in at least 5 years.
That's huge.
Excellent. And also it was a car accident that led to the physical therapy, which is a bad thing, car accident, but then led to this good thing of finding these other things and, you know. Silver linings and lemonade out of lemons and all that. Bad things can lead to good things. It's a good thing to remember. I like Linda. Linda's a longtime fan, listener of the show, friend of the program.
Yep.
And she says she started taking classes at age 61 for a new adventure. And she doesn't say what kind of classes, so I assume it's something embarrassing.
It's like probably new adventure classes.
Belly dancing or something.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Age 61, taking some classes for a new adventure. We bought houses. Katya
houses,
bought a
vacations.
Piano. Someone fell in love. Oh, here, Diane. She says, I responded very well to treatment for an episode of severe depression. And that's a good outlook, because it could have been, it was a bad year. I had an episode of severe depression. But no, right. It was a good year. I responded well to the treatment for the bad thing that happened. It's a good way to look at life, you know?
It is. And it's also, I think 2017 for me was like very similar to those things, where it was a chance for me to kind of look inward because of so much annoyance outward that was going on in the real world and everything.
Right.
It was a chance for me to look inward and focus a little bit more on family connection and my job as a stay-at-home dad. And it really, I think, is paying off in a really good way for my family.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy about that. And I, you know, I'm 41, and it's amazing the really basic idea that it's never too late to look at yourself in the mirror, make a change, do what Michael Jackson says, do what Batman said in the Lego Batman movie.
Don't do everything Michael Jackson says.
No, not everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everything. Yeah. Be the change you want to see in the world.
Although that thing about like having a chimp as a pet, we should all be doing that.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I feel a lot of the same way, is that as things are going bad in the world and whatever, sometimes these bad things happen that sort of make you take stock of yourself and your life and your philosophies and sort of helps you get it together. And sometimes we need those bad things to happen, the opposition to push against us, to make us, you know, get strong and whatever. You know,
it's a way to wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
So 2018, it'll be a fine year. It'll be a really good year. This will be the year. This will be the one.
This will be the one that we talk about.
Yeah, this will be the good one. So thank you all for sharing your good things that happened to you. And I hope that you all have a good new year and that good things happen.
Am I doing the rest of the show by myself? It sounds like you're done.
Yeah, I'm out of here. See you guys. No, we still have to talk about is the movie of the month.
That's right.
We gave ourselves we've been doing some fancier movies.
So some heavier lifting, if you will.
Some movies in the canon of the great, the classic movies that we had not seen. And for this month, we chose one that we had not seen, but that was, you know, more of a pop cultural touchstone as opposed to like a great movie. And that movie is Stakeout from 1987.
I wish we would insert the classic 80s musical score of Stakeout right here, because, man, anytime you're watching an 80s movie that is, for the most part, trying to take itself seriously, even if it is having like funny beats and whatnot like that.
Right. It's a buddy cop
buddy
comedy.
Yeah. But like those 80s musical scores with their synthesizers and whatnot, just really fantastic stuff.
Very of the age. This was Stakeout was very did very well when it came out. 1987. It made summer of 87 made $65 million, which at today's ticket prices would be about $150 million. So it's a good size comedy hit.
Yeah, it is.
And
you got your Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah,
Emilio Estevez. They're both wearing mustaches.
and it's this is not a good movie.
No,
and I was
it's so mismanaged.
I knew that it would be some problematic elements to it. I did not realize. I mean, I knew it was about a stakeout, and I knew that there would be an element of spying on a pretty lady. I did not realize that the entire plot was about the fact that Richard Dreyfuss falls in love with this woman that they're spying on. They're doing a stakeout of her house in case her ex-boyfriend, who's just escaped from prison, shows up, and Dreyfuss falls in love with her.
And it feels like the purpose of the movie, the story they want to tell, starts at, I wrote down, 1 hour and 18 minutes. Like, that's the juicy stuff that they wanted to get to, but they decided to go nice and slow to get everything.
What happens then? What do you think they wanted to do?
1:18 is when Richard Dreyfuss leaves the house and is mistaken for, like, here it is. Here's, they're on a stakeout. Now right. He's in too deep. He's infiltrated this woman's life. And now the cops, the other cops that are watching him, think he might be a bad guy because they're looking for a bad guy.
Right.
And now he's got to coordinate all of this messiness. It's the role that Richard Dreyfuss is really good at playing,
yeah.
as opposed to the guy that he's playing for the first hour in 18.
But that's the third act. That's what happens in the third act. Like, that can't happen in the first act.
Like, there's so many weird things. Like, it's 30 minutes into the movie and like nothing has really happened. Besides Aidan Quinn's character, who looks like Serpico in the beginning, but eventually has to shave that beard, which is really a shame. And he's going all out as a bad guy.
In case you've not seen this movie, these two cops are on a stakeout in Seattle. And they're watching this woman. Her ex-boyfriend shows up.
They're doing it because the FBI's making them. And, does that really chap their hearts?
It's a boring job. They figure he's not going to show up. It's, not mm-hmm. an important thing. And the woman whose house they're watching is a pretty lady. And here's where the movie goes irretrievably wrong is where, without any legal or moral justification, Richard Dreyfuss actually sneaks into her house to look around for clues. Again, there's no reason, no justification for this at all other than that, maybe she's got some stuff that will help us on the case. But no legal justification, certainly no moral justification. And then she comes home, so he hides under the bed. And then she takes a shower, and he spies on her in the shower. We also see her nude through the shower glass. Yeah, and he's leering at her. And there's mm-hmm. just, from that point on, having leered at her and spied on her naked, then he contrives to put himself into her life by showing up at her door and not saying he's a cop, spying on her house, but pretending to be like the phone guy or something dumb. Yep. And this woman, who is it that plays her? Madeline Stowe?
Madeline Stowe. Yeah.
This character is just the dumbest woman I've ever been. The most gullible.
More importantly, she is so hot for Richard Dreyfuss on first meeting. And it never, like, it literally, he can do no wrong.
Right.
She is so impressed with him. He's shorter than her, by the way, unless they're kissing. And then suddenly, for some reason, he's taller than her in this film. Yeah. But he's clearly shorter than her.
You know, he's only 11 years older than her in real life.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
That is a little surprising.
He looks older.
Well, and not only that, if you think about these two guys and where they were in 87, Emilio Estevez would have been the potential.
That's what baffled me, too. Yeah. Why is it the older
and yet
of the two?
He's got the wife and boy at home, which, by the way, he does not care about at all.
No.
And at times, there's clearly moments where I don't know if he's jealous of like this woman taking away the attention of his partner who he's in love with, or if he's like worried about the way that Richard Dreyfuss is going overboard with things.
I never got that he was.
There is one moment where he is just so. Did I write down?
Is he annoyed that his partner is being a terrible cop and a perv?
Like, he's annoyed at that, yes. But there was one point where he was, like, just dumbstruck at that everything was happening. So, anyway, this is an 80s movie, and you can tell because they talk about how they should have gotten their police chief a hooker for his present instead right. of what they did get him.
Right.
They're worried like crazy. They're annoyed and worried that this woman is going to be super fat.
They have to spy on. Yeah, they're concerned. What if she's ugly and we have to spy on her? Yeah,
they're passing the time by reading Playboy.
Yeah,
the equivalent of being on a stakeout with your cop buddy and just like looking up porn on your computer. And it's just overall constantly creepy with the way that he is leering at her
and lying to her, like when he's not on duty spying on her from across the street.
Yes.
He's like into her life as this fake person, infiltrating her life. And they hang out like one night and he falls in love with her. Doesn't make any sense. And it's all. And I feel, and again, she's so dumb. She falls for everything. She's so gullible. She believes everything. She runs into him at the police station once and doesn't catch on that he's actually a cop. He manages to convince her that he's not a cop. He's just mm-hmm. the phone guy who happened to be at the police station. If they made the movie now, they would have to – they could still do it, but they would have to – they'd have to give him a valid reason to sneak into her house, like a valid right. legal reason to be in her house when she's not there. And then when she comes home and he hides under the bed and he hears her going to the shower, he does a bit, a moment of like being tempted, but I can't look, and he doesn't look because he knows
he has to come off as a good guy because otherwise he's a bully in this film for the most part.
Yeah,
like he is like truly like abuses his power like crazy,
and a creep and a liar and bad cop. Again, breaking into her house is breaking and entering.
Right, by the way, the other cop working the other 12-hour shift.
Oh yeah,
Forrest Whitaker and the dad from Wonder Years.
Yep.
And Emilio Estevez, what he's saddled with the whole movie, his main thing is doing bits with them about like toilet paper falling down or poop on a plate.
That's why they keep doing practical jokes on each other, yeah.
Also, after 118, there's a really good filmed, shockingly good car chase in this movie. It has nothing to do with Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez. It is good. The stunt driving work is really fantastic in this movie. There's a shootout where the cops are randomly just chasing this car. Their windshield gets shot a couple of times, and the cop sitting shotgun kicks it out, randomly firing a shotgun in crowds. It's awesome. Did you by chance pick up on where this movie was filmed, Eric?
Where it was filmed? I know it was set in Seattle. I didn't notice where they filmed it.
Seattle.
Yeah.
So they set it in Seattle, and do you know what this means? This means there has to be an intricate, long fight scene at a fish hatchery factory.
Yeah.
And there also has to be one at a logging factory.
There's some logging, yeah.
Those two things had to happen, and they were the big scenes in the movie because, again, Seattle. Oh, and there's people carving a totem pole outside of the Seattle Police Station.
I'm pretty sure that's legit. Pretty sure that happens.
It's Seattle.
Right.
Seattle.
So Stakeout. Cross it off the list. I've seen it. And it's not a good movie.
Not a good movie.
See you in hell, Stakeout.
Stakeout.
Movie of the month for next month. For the month of January. And we'll talk about it the first show in February. It's from 1981. And it's called The Howling.
Ooh, The Howling.
The Howling. And it's about a werewolf. There were other werewolf movies. There was an American Werewolf in London around the same time. And I have seen that one, but I've not seen The Howling.
I'll be curious if I recognize it from like my late night youth of like, oh my gosh, there's an HBO weekend for free.
Right.
But I don't think I've seen it.
I have seen the sequel. I did it for Eric's Bad Movies several years ago because the sequel is called The Howling 2. Your sister is a werewolf.
Wait, what? That's the whole title?
That's the title. The Howling 2, colon. Your sister is a werewolf. But The Howling, the first one, is supposed to be good. So we'll see about that. So watch The Howling at some point this month, and we'll talk about it start of next month.
And we'll toss up on Facebook, hey, have you seen The Howling? You want to say something about The Howling? Maybe we'll talk about it when we talk about it in the show. And also, you could email us, and our email address is moviebspdx@gmail.com.
It sure is. Well done.
It's a new year.
We don't have any DVDs to give away this week, but we have something else to
give away. Something bigger and maybe even better?
Something bigger and heavier than a DVD.
Heavier. That's right.
Yeah. Do any DVDs come out this week, I wonder?
I doubt it. I mean, let's assume they don't.
Oh, actually, American Made, Battle of the Sexes.
Those two are really good movies.
Brad's Status, Breathe. Those are all good movies. Never saw it. Yeah. Those are all good movies you could rent. American Made, Battle of the Sexes, Brad's Status, and Breathe. But also,
hang on, here it is.
We're giving away a book, a big fat book, one of those big fancy art books.
It's like a coffee table book, people. Mm-hmm. It's gigantic.
It's Wonder Woman, the art and making of the film. You've seen these, the big hardcover books that show the production design and the art and the costumes, everything of the movie. And it's the official, it's the official one, you know, licensed and Patty Jenkins, the director of the movie, wrote the foreword. Retails for $39.95 in the U.S. In Canada, it's $53.95. Things are more expensive up there.
That's why we're not shipping it there.
Yeah, no. Well, that's not why. But so if one of our agents would like this, we will, in the U.S., we will send this to you. If you want to look up online and see the book we mean, it's called Wonder Woman, The Art and Making of the Film by Sharon Gosling. What if that's Ryan Gosling's mom?
Maybe that's what she does.
Maybe. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you're an agent and want this book, send us an email and tell us that, and we'll choose one of you at random and send it to you.
And if you're not an agent, hurry up, become an agent, then you have a chance.
There you go.
And if you're like, well, wait, how? Whoa, slow down. How do I become an agent?
just go to moviebs.com and click the Patreon link there and sign up and
contribute
$4 a month and you're an agent. Boom. Bob's your uncle. We also, in the coming weeks, we have similar books. We have one for Dunkirk. There's one for The Shape of Water. And there's one for Get Out. And these are all like these big, heavy, fancy books about those movies. So keep that in mind for coming up. Also, I guess if you'd rather have one of those, maybe don't put in for this because, you know, you only get one every few months. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that brings us to the end of the show. There's no new movies, by the way. Don't go to the theater.
But we gave you... Okay, now let me do this. 10, 20, we didn't give you 20. We gave you 16 movies.
Yes, uh-huh, right.
That we love.
That's true.
So come on.
And many of those are on video now.
And one of them is on Netflix.
Raw's on Netflix, and several are still in theaters. So, yes, go see those movies from our top 10 lists. You know what else? Oh, we didn't know what I forgot to do. We'll do this real quick. BS approved movies from 2017. How many BS approved movies do you think there were last year? Actually, let me tell you something else. We reviewed 107 movies total. 107 movies that we both reviewed. How many of those were BS approved, do you think?
24.
Ooh,
24.
26.
Oh!
Very close.
What would I have won? What would I have won, seriously?
$10,000. Yeah, bummer.
That's going to haunt me.
I'll run down the list alphabetically quickly. Our BS-approved movies from last year. Oh, we'll post the list online, too. Atomic Blonde, Baby Driver, Band-Aid, Battle of the Sexes, The Big Sick, Bodied, which hasn't come out yet, Brigsby Bear, Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, The Death of Stalin, also hasn't come out yet, Downsizing, Dunkirk, The Florida Project, Get Out, I, Tonya, Lady Bird, Pincushion, another one from Fantastic Fest, hasn't come out yet,
right.
Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman, Raw, Spider-Man Homecoming, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Stronger, Tigers Are Not Afraid, the fourth one from Fantastic Fest, The Trip to Spain, War on Everyone, and Wonderstruck. So 26 movies. That's about 20, about a quarter, about 25% of all the movies we reviewed.
But you didn't say Wonder.
I only gave that a B.
Oh, what?
Good. I mean, it was really good. Sappy piffle, but it's sappy piffle.
You don't.
I don't have kids with messed up faces. Kids, yeah, so I don't fully understand.
Yeah, I'm not capable.
My kids have normal faces, and it's different. So there. Now it's the end. Now we're done. Lots of good movies you can go and catch up on.
Yeah, we'll never talk about 2017 again.
Nope.
We're done.
Nope. It's dead to me. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day. He's got the wife and boy at home, which, by the way, he does not give a shit about. Oh, whoops, sorry.